Okay, this is your first audio lecture, and this will be on an overview of the Indus Valley Civilization. I won't be going through all my slides on this particular lecture, only the first five, because the last four slides deal with information in Chapter 5. Now, the cities of the Indus Valley are the most recently discovered of all the early centers of civilization. In fact, Harappa was discovered in 1826, but it wasn't even excavated until 1920 and 1921 by the Archaeological Survey of India. So it wasn't really until the early 20th century that archaeologists found the remains of two great cities on the Indus River Valley, one of them being Mohenjo-daro and the other one being Harappa. And excuse me for my pronunciations, I've heard them both pronounced different ways. And it wasn't until the 19th century, 1826 specifically, that we even realized that that Harappa existed and was part of the Indus Valley. These cities developed about 2500 BCE when civilization was already flourishing in Sumer, which is Mesopotamia. The territory of the Indus Valley civilization was much larger than ancient Egypt or Mesopotamia. It included much of the northwest corner of the subcontinent of what we consider India. Harappa and Mohenjo-daro were carefully planned cities, each about a square mile in area. They had wide streets laid out in an orderly pattern. Buildings were square with windowless walls facing the street. A huge central fortress contained rooms for storing grain, an assembly hall, and public baths. Most homes were large. Some stood two stories high. They had indoor bathrooms with the earliest known sewer systems for drainage. This is quite remarkable. What actually strikes you about this civilization as opposed to some of the others we discussed this week, such as Mesopotamia, China, and Egypt? Well, I think one of the most remarkable achievements of the Indus Valley people was their sophisticated planning. Right now, you're looking at the brick structure, the brick remains of houses and streets in Mohenjo-daro. The cities of this early civilization were on a precise grid system, laid out on a precise grid. This is totally at odds with the early cities of Mesopotamia, which were a jumble of buildings connected by a maze of winding streets. In Mohenjo-daro, there were actually separate residential districts. The buildings, as I've said, were constructed of oven-baked brick, cut in standard uniform sizes, unlike the simpler, irregular sun-dried mud brick of Mesopotamia. Early engineers of the Indus Valley civilization also created sophisticated plumbing and sewage systems. These systems could rival any urban drainage systems built before the 19th century, which is truly amazing. The uniformity of the city planning and construction really suggests that the Indus people had developed a strong central government, because it wouldn't have been possible without a strong central government to be able to handle this kind of engineering feat. Now, archaeological digs have given us much information about the lives of the early Indus people. We know, for example, that the people of Harappa and Mohenjo-daro believed in many gods, polytheism. They had a deep respect for nature, and they tended their land very carefully. Farmers grew grain and fruit, and they were among the earliest people to grow cotton and make cotton cloth. They also domesticated many animals, including elephants, sheep, goats, cats, and dogs. The Indus people had a system of weights and measures for weighing grain and gold. Artisans worked with copper, bronze, and gold. And on the edge of the city, people would bake those uniform bricks and pottery in large ovens. This is very significant. They also used clay to make children's toys, toys such as whistles, small carts, and animals. Why do you think this is so significant? Well, the reason why finding these toys is so significant, and I actually got to see some of these whistle small carts and animals when I was in Boston a few years ago at a museum in Boston. These toys indicate that the people of the Indus Valley had leisure time to make toys for their children and that they cared enough about their offspring to give them toys. So there was leisure involved in this civilization. Merchants would use stone or clay seals to mark their goods and sign contracts. Seals from the Indus Valley were flat, used like modern-day rubber stamps. They combined carved animal designs and a few picture-like symbols that probably stood for the merchant's name. These are the only surviving examples of the Indus Valley writing. So far, no one has been able to decipher what they actually mean. The Indus people built ports on the Arabian Sea. Traders sailed along the coast and into the Persian Gulf, dealing in cotton cloth, grain, turquoise, and probably timber and ivory. Some Harappa seals have been found in Sumer, showing that the two cities traded with each other as early as 2300 BCE. This image that you're seeing on your screen is the bust of a man known as a high priest, found in Mohenjo-daro. After about 1,000 years of prosperity, the Indus Valley civilization began to collapse. Cities were abandoned, trade slowed, and law and order broke down. The reasons for this decline are a mystery. Some historians think that the Indus people fled their cities after they were attacked by the Aryans, A-R-Y-A-N-S. Others believe that environmental problems such as floods, changes in the course of rivers, and soil exhaustion had already driven away many valley dwellers even before the Aryans came. Whether or not the Aryans caused the downfall of the Indus Valley civilization, their arrival right around 1500 BCE marked a turning point in Indus Valley history. The Aryans probably came from the plains of Central Asia, west of the Hindu Kush, a mountain range bordering India on the northwest. From there, the Aryans crossed into South Asia by way of mountain passes. They were taller and lighter skinned than the Indus Valley people. They spoke a different language too, what we now call Indo-European. Now, I will plan to talk about the Aryan people next week when we begin chapter 5. So I will stop here.